how do we respond when a national Christian leader says that divorce is permitted if your spouse has Alzheimer's because it is a living death? What do we say to that?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, I'm very careful about addressing people by name on the radio broadcast, speaking about Christian leaders, teachers, speakers. I like to be very careful about it because it's easy to just bash people. It's easy to take people out of context. It's easy to almost build your whole show around attacking others. And I do my best to look at the issues, to discuss the issues without attacking the people. My goal today is not to attack a person. My goal is to discuss a very serious issue, but because it's so public, with a public figure, we need to address the issues with the person saying this as well. I'm speaking about Pat Robertson's remarks that drawn outrage, shock, concern, disbelief from across the Christian community. We're going to talk about that today. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, you can weigh in at AskDrBrown.org, click on The Line of Fire, or you can weigh in on our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown, where many are weighing in with their views. So here's what happened. Pat Robertson, whom I respect, whom I do not dismiss as some way out loony, I thank God for the tremendous good he's done for many years. I thank God for the good he's done through his radio ministry, his TV ministry, excuse me. I thank God for the good he's done through things like Operation Blessing, which serves so many people around the world, needy people. I thank God for Regent University, where I had affiliation for some years as an adjunct professor, probably still listed as such with them. Great respect and admiration for what the Lord's done through him. Unfortunately, every so often over the years, he said some things that have drawn negative attention and perhaps negative attention to the gospel. But this one just was, to me, the worst thing that's been said yet, and I want to get your take on this. So here it's being discussed. I think it's Diane Sawyer talking about this just on Secular News. Here's the report with the audio clip from Pat Robertson.
It was a question on the 700 Club, Pat Robertson's talk show. A woman looking for moral guidance asking about a friend whose wife has Alzheimer's.
He says that he should be allowed to see other people because his wife, as he knows her, is gone.
Robertson, an ordained Baptist minister for 50 years, responded.
I know it sounds cruel, but if he's going to do something, he should divorce her and start all over again. But, you know, to make sure she has custodial care, and if he says in a sense she is gone, he's right. It's like a walking death.
All right. Just a shocking remark on 100 different fronts. What do you think of it? Do you think there's any justification? Do you think there's any way that he could be right in what he's saying? Maybe your spouse has Alzheimer's or you've been through that with a family member. Do you think there's any possible justification for his comments? Or are you as shocked and pained as I am and leaders across the country? 866-34-TRUTH. I mean, the idea if you're going to see someone rather than commit adultery, then divorce and start all over, that's a shocker. The idea that this is walking death, well, what if the spouse is in a coma? What if the spouse has some other handicap and they're unable to communicate? At what point do we say it's equivalent to death? Is it ever our right to do that? Does the scripture hint at any grounds for that? 866-34-TRUTH. I got a lot of interesting comments to read. Johnny Erickson Tata has weighed in on this as a quadriplegic as well. I do want to hear from you. And let's do this. Let's talk about what Pat Robertson said. I don't want you to attack him. I want you, if you disagree, attack what he said. All right? And we're going to have a healthy, spirited discussion about this today. Stay with us.
Yeah.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Boy, comments pouring in, phone calls pouring in. These comments of Pat Robertson have really upset and shocked a lot of people. Again, we are talking about his comments made on national, really international television, counseling someone. A woman was calling about a friend of hers, and his wife had Alzheimer's. He wanted to see other people, and Pat Robertson said, well, better to divorce. It's like walking death. Anyway, and better to make a new start, make sure she has custodial care. Obviously, there's some compassion in that, but the remarks are shocking to me. If you think there's any way to justify this, based on Scripture, based on Christian principles, please tell me how. 866-34-TRUTH. I am 100% with those who say marriage is for life, to death do us part, in sickness and in health. I know some faith people don't like to take the vow in sickness and in health. I'm not confessing sickness. Whether you confess it or not, it may happen. It may happen over the course of a marriage. And if it happens, what are you going to do? Outside of adultery, I just don't see any scriptural basis. Oh, or if the person, say, is an unbeliever and leaves you, abandons you, and divorces you, I don't see any option for divorce, remarriage, scripturally. You say, what about if there's physical abuse? Okay, that's something we can discuss. If, say, the husband is violent towards the wife and children, that's something we can discuss. I'm happy to have that discussion, and it's a worthy discussion. But there's no connection between that, in my opinion, and what Pat Robertson said. Now, let me tell you why it's especially grievous to me, and then I'm going to go to your phone calls early today and take as many as possible. But let me tell you why it's especially grievous to me. It's grievous to me because Pat Robertson carries a lot of weight with a lot of people. He's been around for decades. He's well known. He ran for president once. And whether you like him or not, he speaks loudly because many people hear him, to the point that, hey, if I had made this comment, the same comment on the radio show here, thank God for the audience we have across the country, but it's not the audience that Pat Robertson has, at least at this point. It's nowhere near the audience that Pat Robertson would have if he makes a comment, right? It was going to be heard around the world when he makes a comment. So it brings reproach to the gospel. It makes a mockery of our pro-family, pro-marriage values. And perhaps it opens the door for divorce for many people who are struggling and who have no biblical grounds for it. And I just want to say this to my gay activist friends who sometimes listen to this broadcast. Many have said to me, well, if you care so much about marriage, how come you're not doing something about divorce, no-fault divorce, and these other things? Well, that's the whole issue. We have been dealing with these issues for years and years and years. The reason that we oppose, quote, same-sex marriage is because we have been opposing other breakdowns in family, other redefinitions of marriage, other things that would dilute marriage through the years. So, of course, we oppose the fundamental redefinition of marriage, changing it from the union of a man and woman for life to the union of two people, be it two men, be it two women, and perhaps, for all we know, be it two brothers or two sisters. So that's the issue here, that we have always been passionate about marriage. We have always been passionate about family. That's why we're passionate about things like abortion. That's why we're passionate about things like no-fault divorce. That's why we're passionate about things like pornography and adultery, passionately opposed to the destructive effects these have. That's why we're passionate about things like same-sex marriage. But unfortunately, a comment like this, especially when you think of the person in their need, I can't imagine having to care for someone with Alzheimer's and the emotional trauma and all of that. But let's just take a secular couple, former president of the United States, the late Ronald Reagan and his wife Nancy. Can you imagine the national reproach that would have come and the dishonor that would have come to President Reagan? If Nancy said, you know, he has Alzheimer's, and I, even though I'm older, I'd like the opportunity to see other men, so I'm going to divorce him, make sure he's cared for, divorce him, and start all over. Can you imagine the reproach that would bring? 866-34-TRUTH. Jesse in Houston, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Dr. Brown, for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I'm definitely among the shocked. At hearing that kind of statement, I happen to know a couple here that where the husband is actually going through Alzheimer's, and I was actually just thinking a moment ago as I was waiting to be on the air, had the wife been listening to this, in light of her commitment to her husband, what does that do to the people that really are committed to their spouses and going through something like this? I mean, that's heart-wrenching to hear.
Yeah, and look, you've got to be going through so much emotion, so much pain if your spouse has Alzheimer's. Again, I can't imagine what it would be like, especially in more advanced stages. You've got to be going through so much already. And now someone opens the door for you and says, hey, it's okay. It's walking death. The person's gone already. Make a new start. There would be tremendous pressure on you to say, yeah, I want to do that. That's why we have to encourage people in the midst of it and come alongside and help and support however we can. Hey, Jesse, thank you for weighing in. I appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. Steve in King George, Virginia, what's your take on this?
I strongly disagree with Pastor Robert's statement. I lost my wife of 17 years, 2.5 years back to breast cancer. Thank you. The thought of walking away from my marriage because she wasn't the same person she was when I married her never crossed my mind. I personally think that's one of the downfalls of America when it comes to wedding vows these days. People don't take them serious. You know, till death do you part, sickness and health. You know, I don't understand what part of that people don't understand.
Yeah, bless you, Steve, for your heart. And I imagine that in your wife's times of suffering, you probably felt more love and connection to her than any other time in your whole marriage.
Yeah, sure,
someone's made the comment, it's a good thing Jesus doesn't divorce us when we're going through struggles and hard times. And, the whole sanctity of marriage, the whole idea of marriage being for life, the whole idea of vows. I mean, what do we take the vows for anyway? I know a couple that told me many years ago before they were saved that they took their vows instead as long as we both shall live. It was as long as we both shall love, because they went into it saying if we're not happy with each other, we'll get divorced. I mean, that might as well say it like that and then not even bother to go through the ceremony, you know?
Yeah, I mean, the question I have is for the husband, did he fall out of love with her because she's ill? I'm sure she didn't ask to have Alzheimer's. Yeah. Same that my wife didn't ask to have cancer. But, you know, to live is to die. And, you know, you don't stop loving somebody because they get sick. I don't get his view on it.
Yeah, it's baffling and it's discouraging. And hopefully he'll publicly say he spoke amiss and he regrets it deeply. But it's just hard to think of why and how you'd say something like that. All right, Steve, thanks for weighing in, and thanks for your own testimony of faithfulness, dear brother. 866-34-TRUTH. Karen in the Bronx, you were actually watching the show as the comment was made?
Yes, I did. And at one point after he made that statement, he retreated a little bit, and he said, well, you know, talk to a medical expert, ethics person. I'm in my 10th year of taking care of my elders, one with renal failure who passed away, and my mother does have Alzheimer's. And I remember so many times wanting to run away. I remember being on a train and thinking, I'm going to go take a course. I'm going to pursue my ambitions. And then I turned away. So I understand the feeling of wanting to run away from it, but love draws you back. You know, I'm talking as a daughter, though, and not a spouse.
But you know, Karen, in a sense, though, even though the Bible requires us, calls on us to honor our parents in these ways, it's a discussion that's relevant in our own household with caring for one of the parents in our household that's in a degenerated state mentally. But it's so what you're doing is honorable before the Lord. But think of how much more if you had made a vow in the presence of God and witnesses to be joined to your spouse for life, regardless of sickness, health. I mean, that's why we say those words. And I'm sure you can tell us all kinds of things about the desire to run and the pressure being too much. And yet, love compels, love does draw us back. Thanks for weighing in, and may the Lord use you to
Can I just say one more thing?
Yeah, very quick, because we're almost out of time.
C.S. Lewis always made a statement saying that most marriage vows are acts of perjury. So that's something to consider.
Boy, it's a terrible shame that he's very right on that. And each of us have the power to disprove his statement in our own lives. Thanks for calling, Karen, and may the Lord bless you in your own ministry to your family. All right, back with more, 866-34-TRUTH.
Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, phone lines are jammed. I'm going to get to as many phone calls as possible talking about Pat Robertson's unfortunate statements about divorcing a spouse with Alzheimer's because it is walking death. Again, I'm not out to bash Pat Robertson. I have immense appreciation for so much good that he's done over the years, and of course, profoundly different with this statement and a few others here and there over the years, but this to me is the most grievous. Johnny Erickson Tata, who of course was crippled in 67, breaking your neck in a diving accident and quadriplegic ever since, she was dismayed by Pat Robertson's statement. And she said that while couples vow to stay married for life, Alzheimer's is a walking death. Her response is, Pat Robertson may have some very subjective views on when he thinks a person, quote, dies, but I think scientific fact would prove him wrong. There's objective reality here that individual with Alzheimer's is still living, still breathing. She said this, God knows that when you have a disability, a severe and catastrophic one such as Alzheimer's, your commitment is going to be tested. Obviously, she knows that far better than 99% of us. And so thank heaven that there are very serious vows we take at the altar, she says, where we promise to be there for our spouse in sickness and health till death do us part. And she suggests Robertson should take marriage vows more seriously. She asks, what does he believe vows are for in a wedding ceremony? Vows are solemn vows. Vows are serious. And they're meant to be serious, to weather a couple through the demands of a disability. She says when a Christian leader such as Robertson views marriage on a sliding scale, that sends a terrible signal to millions of couples who deal daily with catastrophic injuries and illnesses. And according to a poll here on One News Now, does God want married couples to be happy or to be obedient to their vows? 96% of them said be obedient. All right, 866-34-TRUTH. Back to the phones. Shannon in Severna Park, Maryland. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I'm just appalled. It just breaks my heart as well just to think of the fact that I had a grandmother with Alzheimer's and my grandfather just nursed her and loved her. My mother's got Alzheimer's. My father had cancer and he took care of her until he died. And now I have the privilege of taking care of her. And she is a vital person. She's not there a lot. She's not the mother that I grew up with, but she's a person and she has every right to be treated with dignity, love, and respect until she's no longer breathing. And I'm just brokenhearted that a Christian leader of his magnitude would say something like that.
Yeah, let me ask you one quick question, Shannon. Many people have seen older folks who are senile, dementia. There are some distinctions with Alzheimer's. What would be some of the worst sides of Alzheimer's that you've witnessed?
Right. Well, since I've witnessed it in both my grandmother and my mother, one of the things that is very difficult with Alzheimer's is that they can become very angry and kind of mean and sometimes brutal. And for the spouse to kind of have to take that in and not feel like it's directed at them personally becomes very difficult.
I can only imagine. I remember seeing some glimpses of that with an aunt who had a brain tumor, died of that when I was a boy. And when the behavior was manifest, no one knew it was a brain tumor and was wondering why she was acting the way she was acting, and things were so different. But Shannon, bless you for your approach and your spirit in this, and may the Lord use you to continue to minister to your family. 866-34-TRUTH. Donna in Germantown, Maryland, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, God bless you. I was reading in Ephesians chapter 5, and it says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body." The very office that he is to execute as a husband, if he is a born-again or born from above or whichever terminology you want to make it, as a Christian man, he is missing the whole meaning of the word love. Love seeks not its own, but he is there as the Savior of her body, and she's to submit unto him. I have learned over the past few years, and certainly by no means have attained it myself, but I have learned that much. And I, as I look into the Word of God, and I hear what this pastor or a Christian man such as himself, I'm astounded that he doesn't have more understanding because of who Pat Robertson is, of the office of a godly husband in Christ.
Yeah, it's an important point. You know, I was interacting with a man who had sex change surgery, felt he was suicidal, couldn't live with himself anymore, and said it was better that and destroy his marriage than kill himself. And look, I can't imagine the struggles this man went through. I can't imagine the torment he lived with. But I wrote to him and said, what about Christ loved the church and gave himself for it? And that's what husbands have to do. And Donna, thank you for weighing in. You're absolutely right. Listen, let me say this, though. You know me well enough to know that we're not just going to sit here and talk about someone else. What about our own lives? What about those of us who are still married but are failing miserably in our roles as husbands and wives without our spouse having Alzheimer's? What about us? How are we living up to the vows we made before God and to one another? How are we giving ourselves to one another and honoring God and honoring one another and being faithful? Something to think about, isn't it? Because we're outraged over these comments. Well, maybe in lesser ways we fail all the time. Maybe in lesser ways we violate the spirit, if not the letter, of the vows all the time. We're going to take some more calls on the other side of the break, share some more comments from others on the other side of the break. We've got an important resource offer. Want to get into as many hands as possible. It's two teaching series I've done. One that deals with the spiritual realm. Are there angels? Are there demons? How do demons infiltrate? Is it possible for a Christian to be demon-possessed? Is there such a thing as deliverance? What does the Bible say? And what does the Bible mean by the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit? And how do we overcome the devil? Two extensive series on angels, demons, and deliverance and spiritual warfare. They're normally $20 each on a CD, each on a CD for your MP3 player computer. This week you can get both together for $20, and we'll pay the postage. But call us today at 1-800-278-9978. It's two complete teaching series, about 24 hours of total teaching for $20. And we'll pay the postage. Very important, very practical, very word-based. 1-800-278-9978. Hey, we need to understand the spiritual realm. We need to understand deception. We need to understand how to deal with it spiritually. 1-800-278-9978. Or you can order online at askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. Friends, let's live lives worthy of the Lord 24/7 in every situation in which we find ourselves.
Yeah. It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, there's a profound question raised in the book of Job. As many of you know, I'm in the early stages of working on a commentary on Job. As I meditate on the Hebrew text most days, I just, just amazed at insights and what's there, and more amazed as I've taught on Job at the power of the book, the audacity of the book, and the fact that God chose to put that in the Bible, asking these really difficult questions. And God's not afraid for those questions to be asked. But Job asks early on in the book, why is light given to someone suffering? When someone has no life, really, and they're just existing, and they would love to die, and they can't die, why does God keep them alive? I mean, we put animals to sleep at certain points, and certainly we don't take it on ourselves to put people to sleep, to euthanize them. Some do, and some advocate that. But why doesn't God just take the person? Well, the fact is, He hasn't. And if that person is in this world, they are a precious life. And if you went into a hospital where someone had a day to live and you shot that person, you would go to jail as a murderer. Life remains precious even when it seems to be meaningless to us on this side. And all the more do our vows of faithfulness and loyalty remain precious that time, which brings up another subject, related subject. And this is one that we're going to keep our focus on Pat Robertson's comments about the issue of divorcing a spouse with Alzheimer's, which there's so much outrage about. But I want to just go down this route for 1 second. One of our callers has brought it up. So Ann in Valhalla, New York, you're thinking something I was thinking. So I wanted to get to your call. Go ahead.
Yes, I'm a little frightened at the statement because I feel that if a prominent pastor, or I wouldn't say prominent, but if a well-known and well-listened-to pastor calls somebody the walking dead and, gives the approval for a divorce, is that the next step towards euthanasia? Then does, when the government decides who can live and who can die in our health care bill, is that of this pastor who everybody reveres, not myself, but other people may revere, will they go to him and use his statement, well, they're the walking dead?
Yeah. So Anna, I'm thinking the same thing. You know, we talk about the slippery slope, and let's look at it from a couple of angles here. The angle of, well, if it's the early stages of Alzheimer's, is it okay to divorce then? Or if it's not Alzheimer's, but it's some other condition, is it all right to divorce? Where do we draw that line? So that's massively concerning. And then one of the reasons, that we so deeply oppose euthanasia is because we recognize the slippery slope. Look, every one of us would think, here's some 98-year-old person in agony, crying themselves to sleep, and they can't, there's no pain management for them. Why don't we put them out of their misery? They have no hope of recovery. Well, it's not in our hands to do that, because now we're going to decide that this person's depressed, or this person's, 70, but they don't have hope of life, or quality of life's not good enough. And we know what's happened in the Netherlands, that doctors have now said, we've euthanized thousands of babies without parental consent because they weren't going to have any quality of life, and thousands of elderly people. It's monstrous. It's mind-boggling. And I fully agree with your line of thinking here. And by the way, I know that many do not respect Pat Robertson, and they're going to be different opinions within the body and within the world as well. The only thing I can say is, when the world hates somebody so much, often they're doing something right along the way. So again, I thank God for the good he's done, but wow, so grieved over these comments. And thank you for weighing in. I believe this is very important, very important. Is this walking death? Well, then why not take the person out of their misery? God forbid we think like that. 866-34-TRUTH. Finally have a line open if you want to try to get in.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire. We're talking about the issue of marriage, divorce, in particular the comments by Pat Robertson saying that divorce was okay. In the case of someone with Alzheimer's, your spouse has Alzheimer's, better to make a new start rather than to cheat on your spouse. Well, since when do we ever make decisions based on that? Better to murder the spouse than to cheat on the spouse? Better to divorce the spouse than to cheat on? I mean, when do we make value judgments like that? If it's sin, it's sin. Not minimizing the challenges, not minimizing the difficulties. And the fact that professional care may be needed and people may not be able to afford that and so on. I'm not minimizing the struggles. I'm simply saying it's outrageous. Marriage is a lifelong commitment. If your spouse willingly, knowingly breaks the commitment, say through adultery or through falling away from the Lord, abandoning you and divorcing, then there is the possibility of remarriage and going on. But otherwise, why else do we take our marriage vows, as many have said? And what's the use of making a commitment if it's not for the hard times? Who needs a vow when everything is going well? But I say this not to condemn Pat Robertson. I say this to challenge all of us. I take profound disagreement with what he said, but to challenge all of us as to how we should be living in our marriage vows. How are we living when our spouse doesn't have Alzheimer's? How are we living? Are we thinking, well, you know, we're incompatible. We can just divorce and remarry. No. You got married in the Lord? No. You took vows before the Lord, whether you were saved or not? No. Or we're just not getting along. That's not an issue. 866-34-TRUTH. By the way, I wrote an article last night. It just came out on Town Hall called The Man Who Married the Goat. And Reflections on the Meaning of Marriage. Can I encourage you to go read that? Townhall.com. You'll find it right on the homepage. The Man Who Married the Goat and Reflections on the Meaning of Marriage. I think it'll be real eye-opening, an enjoyable read, also an eye-opening read. And then click on Recommend to recommend it to your Facebook friends, or click on Tweet to tweet it to your Twitter friends. 866-34-TRUTH. I made reference a little while ago to a man who had been married. It was actually 38 years. I think 38 years, had three children, married in the Lord, and wanted to follow the Lord. Finally felt that he had an actual medical condition, medical psychological condition, that the proper treatment was sex change surgery. The marriage was destroyed because of that. His wife has been rendered a virtual widow. I don't think lightly of this. In other words, well, you just do better. I can't imagine the torment this man went through. I'm not sitting as his personal judge, but I did challenge him and say, aren't you to lay your life down for your wife? Isn't that what comes first? Was it ever God's will that you destroy the marriage to save your own sanity? Again, I'm not saying this to condemn someone that struggles so much. I'm simply saying there has to be a better way. But I've got a caller with an interesting perspective I want to get to. Ellen in Britainsville, Maryland, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air, Ellen.
Okay. I'll tell you, I got married many, many years ago in the church, and I'm a Christian, but, you know, the statement that you should... it's okay to leave someone with Alzheimer's would have never even applied to me. Of my husband of many years who felt like he needed to change his gender to be a woman, I don't see it as a mental disorder as much as I would as a physical disorder. I'm also an RN from Germany. So I stayed married because that's what I believe God wanted me to do. And, we worked through that. I didn't marry a gender. I married a human being with a soul. The only thing that I'm saddened by is that the church has really ostracized me in the meantime. But, you know, and this transgendered community and all the things going on is just so unacceptable. Well, that may be so, but there are some marriages that have stayed together and then have had to leave the church.
Yeah, Ellen, boy.
That was my story. I had to leave the church because we were no longer welcomed in many, many churches, which in turn then has caused me to go to a gay and lesbian church, not being gay or lesbian.
Yeah, Ellen.
You see what I mean? I mean, there's a lot of...
Trust me, I've read similar stories.
How do we stay together when there's so much controversy?
Ellen, how long have you been married?
Oh, 20 years.
20 years. Okay, Let me talk to you about this as sensitively as I can, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Although you understand my view on this, I hope you hear my recognition of the terrible struggles that someone who identifies as transgender goes through. You know, beginning with some as children, say a boy who wants to cut off his private parts because he's convinced he's a girl, and then some of them committing suicide, you know, going into puberty. And I've read so much. I've listened to people's stories. I have a relative who's older than me in his late 60s now, in the process of sex change. So I cannot imagine, and it's probably costing him everything in the process as well.
Oh, absolutely.
So I don't minimize any of this. And it's extraordinary that you've remained married and that you've looked at this as a physical disorder as opposed to psychological. I'm sure you know there's debate about that.
Well,
the professional community.
I think my main reason that I called in is this seriousness of marriage vows.
Oh, yes.
Know?
Yeah, I understand that.
But
Ellen, I wonder if there's a way that you could just get some contact info to our folks that are screening the calls. I would like to set up a time to bring you back on the air to talk about the larger situation.
Mm-hmm.
What you've been through, I think it has to be talked about. I fully understand churches saying, look, it's two women now married to each other. This is someone who had sex change, and how can that be? And then why you'd end up in a gay and lesbian church, because they would be the ones saying, of course, we take you in, and this is what our churches are all about.
But I'm not a lesbian.
I understand that. When you say you didn't marry a gender, I would say you did marry a man, and it never occurred to you to marry a woman. So there are lots of implications. But if you could stay on the line, I assure you we'll only contact you once to set up a time to bring you back on, and we'll take 20 or 30 minutes to talk this through together.
Yeah.
Is that okay?
And again, just one more thing is, you know, no matter how hard it is, just like you said earlier, too, where do our vows end? They don't. Whether someone has Alzheimer's or, you know, I prayed my way through this. It hasn't been easy, but I've prayed my way through this.
It's a massively important discussion, and your testimony of staying faithful is a massive rebuke to many others that have quit over far, far less things. But stay on the line.
Okay.
We'll get your contact info, and then hopefully within the next few weeks, we'll set up a time just to discuss this in more depth. But thank you for calling in. I appreciate it. Stay on the line, okay?
Uh-huh.
All right. Okay, boy, oh boy. These are real-life situations, and I don't want to get too far afield with what she spoke of, but let's just take away the fact that she's remained married to someone who had sex change surgery because she said marriage vows are for life. Boy, oh boy, a lot to say, a lot to think about. 866-34-TRUTH. Daryl in Manhattan, to Pat Robertson's comments. Your take, sir.
Well, praise the Lord, Dr. Brown. And
yes.
I just heard you say, boy, oh boy, and I understand why you said it.
I think I said it two or three times, probably.
You know, I understand, and I was very surprised to hear, you know, what Pat Robertson said. I didn't even know it until you just brought it up, and I was just laying there on my couch listening, and I thought about the scripture where Apostle Paul, I believe, quoted and says that whosoever put away his wife, or I think it was Jesus that said that, you know, whosoever put away his wife except for the cause of adultery, he caused of her to commit adultery. And then you know it's another scripture that says that no adulterer shall have any part in the kingdom of God amongst all the other sins that Jesus said through the Apostle
it's
Paul.
It's very serious.
You know, so this is a serious matter, and it's just a shame. You know what? A long time ago, when those preachers used to preach about hell and repentance, I think that it's time that the church world start going back to that.
Yes,
because
ma'am.
They have taken, you know, getting saved too easy, you know, because if a scripture tells you that you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven if you do a certain thing, you can call yourself a Christian all day. You can talk about the blood of Jesus all day. And another thing is this, Jesus, Apostle Paul also said,
Tell you what, we're out of time, but you're preaching to the choir, and in fact, tomorrow I'm raising some of those very issues on the broadcast. Thanks for your call. And once again, boy oh boy.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
According to Dr. Donald Thompson, Director of Global Health Outreach at the Christian Medical Association in Bristol, Tennessee, Pat Robertson has strayed far from Scripture on this issue. I remember my wedding vows 32 years ago, and I remember me pledging, until death do us part. And I remember, just as importantly to me, my wife pledged the same thing, until death do us part. Not until things get inconvenient, or until I don't look nice, or until she doesn't cook things the way I like her to cook. Marriage Savers President Michael McManus, dumbfounded by the statement, to justify divorce on grounds of illness is just unbelievable, he contends. It's certainly unbiblical. I'm actually flabbergasted by what he said. He says, evangelicals have been right to quickly rebuke Pat Robertson. I found it very healthy that Leith Anderson, who's head of the National Association of Evangelicals, was critical of Robertson's stand on this. So those of us who are evangelical just have to say that what Pat Robertson said is wrong. It was just an unbelievable statement. The most important obligation we take as an individual, other than our commitment to the Lord, is to our spouse. Very, very true. A whole lot more to share. In fact, I had a stack of things I was going to get into in the second hour, and I think I'm going to put that stack off until Wednesday. Most all of it is not time sensitive, and continue this discussion for another hour. You can listen live online by going to askdrbrown.org and clicking on the line of fire, and there will be a link to listen live right there. John in Bridgewater, Massachusetts. All right, lost John there. Justin in Houston. Lost Justin there. All right. Folks can only hang on so long. 866-34-TRUTH. Nancy in Danvers, Massachusetts, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hi, how are you this afternoon?
I'm doing very well, thanks.
A couple comments. I think that Pat Robertson is probably divorcing his wife to get out of nursing home costs. That might be an angle. And also, I've been married. She's over 31 years. My husband and I both went through cancer. Supported each other. I mean, that's what it's about. I also volunteer teaching special needs adults arts and crafts. And I'll tell you, they have so much to offer, and we cannot be a selective, throwaway society. I mean, every life has some kind of meaning. And this is such a slippery slope that this gentleman is pronouncing this, and you know, it's going to lose a lot of people's faith.
Yeah, it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt in many ways, potentially. It just has to. He has a very loud voice, a voice that God's given him over the years. And, of course, he wasn't talking about his own wife, but, you know, another situation. But, you know, I was just thinking there are many ways I look at myself and think I could have been a much better husband. I could have been a much better father. Could kick myself for falling short here or there in different ways. On the other hand, I understand joyfully that Nancy and I have a lifelong commitment, and in 35 years of marriage, the subject of divorce has never come up. You know, it's just never been anything that we talk about any more than we talk about an alien invasion of Mars. One day we were talking, and she had been under the weather, and she'd been weighed down by a bunch of things, responsibilities, and she was just kind of apologizing for not being like a joyful, happy spouse. And, you know, I said, honey, this is what marriage is about. Now, it's not someone with Alzheimer's, but it's the same principle. You know, we're there for each other. It's not a matter of...
And marriage isn't always, you know, rosy. I mean, we've had our ups and downs, and, you know...
And, of course, I mean, you're in your case, both surviving cancer, but that's why you take the vows, and that's the picture of Jesus and the church. We're not talking about someone walking away from a marriage, destroying it with adultery, abandoning the spouse. Then is there the possibility of remarriage and moving forward? Surely there is. We're talking about that Jesus would divorce us when we're struggling, when we have the equivalent of Alzheimer's.
Oh, yeah. Can you imagine if he got rid of us because we did something wrong? We'd really be in trouble.
Yeah, or that we just not even did something wrong, because someone with Alzheimer's hasn't done something wrong, but that we were just suffering physically somehow. Hey, Nancy, thanks for calling in and sharing your story. 866-34-TRUTH. Alan in Rockville, Maryland, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yeah, Mike.
Hey.
We know each other from Beth Messiah.
Yeah, it's funny. When I saw Rockville, Maryland, I was going to say I was based in Rockville for a while, but I thought, why mention that? Nice to hear from you, Alan.
Yeah, how you doing?
Doing fine, thanks.
I got an interesting curveball in the story. My mother was diagnosed with Alzheimer's in her 80s. She's no longer alive. She died 10 days short of 94. But I get a phone call from my sister who lives in New York, and she says, Mom's mad at us because we took away her credit cards and we took away her driver's license. She's come out of it. So, you know, here's a story of someone who lived many years after she was diagnosed with Alzheimer's and had come out of it and lived a coherent life a number of years afterwards.
Yeah, exactly. That's quite amazing that things can even take that turn. So, I mean, that is another curveball. And again, it's the slippery slope thing. Where does one draw the line, and how sick is too? You can't. You know, the lines are clearly drawn in Scripture, and they can't be messed with. Hey, good to hear from you. I got to run. Program's almost over, but nice to hear from you, Alan.
Thank you.
All right. God bless. Yeah, we lived in Montgomery County, Maryland from 87 through 96 and enjoyed some wonderful years of fruitful ministry there. Let me encourage you again, go to townhall.com and check out this article I just wrote. You'll find it to be a fascinating read with some very important points at the end. It's called The Man Who Married the Goat and Reflections on the Meaning of Marriage. And there's actually relevance from a different angle towards the very things we are talking about today here on The Line of Fire. Also remember, very important resource offer this week, as always, at a drastically reduced price. Extensive teaching I did some years ago. Actually, when I was in Maryland, was the strongest teaching I've done on this. We put these series together and have used them ever since. Angels and demons. What about the realm of the spirit? What about the dark side? What does the Bible tell us? What about revelation and deception? How do demons infiltrate? And when the Bible talks about spiritual warfare, what does it mean? What's the shield of faith? What's the sword of the spirit? How do we deal with the flesh, the world, and the devil? 24 hours of teaching on two CDs that are only $20 each plus postage. You can get them both for $20, Angels, Demons, and Deliverance, and Spiritual Warfare, both for $20, and we'll pay the postage. So it's a savings of over 50%. And trust me, you will find these scripturally grounded, edifying, life-changing. Call us at 1-800-278-9978 to order today. That's 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. That's also the number to call if you'd like to sow into our ministry, hold our hands up as we stand for righteousness, and help spark a moral, cultural, spiritual revolution through the power and life of the gospel. You can also contact us online at askdrbrown.org. My bottom line: it's one thing to criticize Pat Robertson for his ill-advised words. It's another thing for us to step higher ourselves. It's another thing for us to live as faithful husbands, faithful wives, before the days of Alzheimer's hit some couples. How are we living now when it's easy? Sometimes that's the greater test. How do we respond when a national Christian leader says that divorce is permitted if your spouse has Alzheimer's because it is a living death? What do we say to that?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Boy, I had planned to get into a whole different subject, actually a bunch of different subjects this hour here on The Line of Fire. But this question of Pat Robertson's comments that it would be justified for a man to divorce his wife with Alzheimer's because it's literally walking death and to make a brand new start, better to do that than, say, to commit adultery, as if it's our choice to decide between adultery and unbiblical divorce. This has created such a firestorm of controversy. Enough has been said in articles and others to realize there's tremendous outrage over this. I've decided to continue talking about this and to get your feedback this hour. Let us, in a moment, listen to the actual soundbite. And here's the number to call to weigh in. What do you think about what Pat Robertson said? You know, if you listen to the show, I am careful not to bash people by name. I'm careful to focus on the issues. I thank God for the good that Pat Robertson's done through the years. I regret some comments he's made over the years, but there's tremendous good that's come from his ministry through his radio broadcast and network. Excuse radio. I've said that twice now. Through his TV broadcast and network, through his ministries to the needy like Operation Blessing, through Regent University. There has been much, much good that has been done for the gospel, and there have been some causes for concern, and this to me the worst of all. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, to weigh in with your view. Is there any justification for what Pat Robertson said? Is there any way that we can say that his comments could be justified, that perhaps it's compassion and we shouldn't be so stuck on the letter of the law? And maybe the Lord is having more mercy on people than we realize, and let's be practical, or is this outrageous and a fundamental violation of our vows? 866-348-7884. Online, you can weigh in on our Facebook page, as many others have already. Ask Dr. Brown, ask D.R. Brown. All right, this is, I believe, a newscast with Diane Sawyer. This is the attention this got in the secular world as well, which is so interesting. The secular world can so easily trash marriage, but here there's an outrage over what Pat Robertson said. Let's listen.
It was a question on the 700 Club, Pat Robertson's talk show. A woman looking for moral guidance asking about a friend whose wife has Alzheimer's.
He says that he should be allowed to see other people because his wife, as he knows her, is gone.
Robertson, an ordained Baptist minister for 50 years, responded.
I know it sounds cruel, but if he's going to do something, he should divorce her and start all over again. But you know, to make sure she has custodial care, and if he says in a sense she is gone, he's right. It's like a walking death.
All right. Where do you draw the line? If that's walking death, what if it's a lesser condition? What if the person's in a coma? What if they're just in a lot of pain and can't be responsive? I mean, where does one draw the line of walking death? And what about till death do us part? I mean, not till I determine the person's not who they used to be and it's a walking death. 866-34-TRUTH. There is a profound article, Christ, the Church, and Pat Robertson, written by Dr. Russell Moore. I'm going to share some of that with you over the broadcast. Take your calls. If any of you want to try to justify what Pat Robertson said, feel free to call in if you want to express your outrage. We're not going to bash him, but we will absolutely focus on what he said. Also, when you get a moment, go to townhall.com, conservative website, townhall.com, and read the article I just wrote entitled The Man Who Married the Goat and Reflections on the Meaning of Marriage. Trust me, you'll want to read this.
Cleansing flame, send the fire. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Look, over the months that you've been listening, and some of you over the years that you've been listening, you know that I'm often concerned about issues having to do with gay activism. It is because I'm concerned with the larger moral breakdown in our culture. It is because I am concerned with the larger moral breakdown in our family, in the education system, in the church. And the reason that I get concerned about homosexual activism is because it's active, because it is actively seeking to spread its views, its mindset, its values, which it believes are right, just as we believe ours are right, spread them through the schools and media and politics and business, religion. So my concern about those issues are related to concerns I've had for years and years before that. Concerns about sexual purity, concerns about adultery, concerns about pornography, concerns about divorce, concerns about relations between husbands and wives and parents and children and parents. My ministry has not been primarily a family ministry, say like a focus on the family, but I've always been concerned about these moral cultural issues and realize how any marriage could potentially be destroyed, how any of us could potentially fall short, how any of us could be in a perilous situation where we almost blow it. But now to have a national Christian leader weigh in and say that if your spouse has Alzheimer's, it's walking death rather than committing adultery, better to divorce the person, make sure they have someone to care for them, and then go on, make a new start. That's grievous. That's outrageous. And can you imagine the impact that will have on people? Can you imagine how many people will hear that and think, oh, well, you know, my spouse is not who she used to be or who he used to be. They're kind of a different person. Find some other justification. There's so much rationalizing already. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I'm just looking at some comments from folks. Christy, I disagree with what Pat Robertson said. A covenant is made in marriage before God to stay faithful even in sickness. Rebecca, I think this is disgusting. He needs to go back over his marriage vows, for better or for worse, in sickness and health, richer or poorer. America, wake up. Martin, one word, bonkers. Bill, okay, if spouse has Alzheimer's and you divorce, even if you agree to care for expenses, you have just lost your legal right to care for her, and she becomes a ward of the state with no advocate who makes the medical care decisions at that point. Felipe said this was a senior moment at the very least, speaking of Pat Robertson. John, abandonment of an unbelieving spouse and unfaithfulness are the only allowances for divorce in the Bible. In other words, if your unbelieving spouse abandons you, anyone that marries someone that is divorced for any other reason commits adultery. Pat's making stuff up. James, I love Pat, but disagree with him. Jacob, not cool. And on and on. And, of course, some responses are even stronger than that. Oh, boy, oh, boy. What a shame. To me, it brings reproach to the gospel. It makes a mockery of our position. It gives further fuel to the fire for those who say, well, you know, you don't even care about heterosexual marriage. How can you oppose other forms of, quote, marriage? And again, for other forms of, quote, marriage, read the article I just wrote on townhall.com. You'll find it amusing, but then with some interesting points about the man who married the goat. That's on townhall.com. Just got printed moments ago, posted moments ago. We've got a caller from Valley Stream. Just a reminder to our friends in Valley Stream area, if you're free on Sunday morning, I'll be ministering at all three services at Bethlehem Assembly of God in Valley Stream. So perhaps you can take in one of those services and still get to your own service as well. And then Sunday night in Freeport, a church plant of the Valley Stream congregation, I'll be doing a talk about the Bible and homosexual practice and taking questions. So it should be a very important weekend on Long Island. Go to my website, AskDrBrown.org. Right on the homepage, you'll see the itinerary, exactly where to go and what time to be there. All right, Wilson in Valley Stream, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. How are you?
I'm blessed. Thank you, sir.
Praise the Lord. I'm blessed also. I'm Pastor Wilson, and this is the first time I'm listening to you because I'm driving in my car. I was just listening to the radio, And unfortunately, well, Pat Robertson was dead wrong. But I think our response as Christians is that we need to pray for him because pastors make mistakes and sometimes say things without thinking and without rationalizing.
Yeah.
And the reality is that we only got bits and pieces of what was information that was shared about what transpired with this. The only thing that comes to my mind is what happened with the I think her name is Maria Schiavo. Maria Schiavo is where her husband wanted to put her to death, and her parents said, "No, son, we'll take care of him. We'll do everything that we can. Just take off and go." And he persisted to put her to death, and instead of just, you know, letting her live and at least give an opportunity to live. We don't really know what's behind the motives. We don't know if we're dealing with a crazy person who could be causing harm. What I'm saying to America is we have to pray. We have to pray for our leaders. We have to pray for them instead of criticizing them, because the secular media has already destroyed us already. And
right.
We start fighting against one another. And, yes, there is a time for a call of truth. Maybe we should have gotten on Pat Robertson and say, "Hey, listen, what did you mean? What was the expand? Why did you say something like this?" And rather than we just go running off and say, "Oh, Pat Robertson's a maniac and this and all of that."
Yeah. Now, hey, Wilson, let me just ask you a question. How many times have you listened to my broadcast?
Oh, this is the first time.
Got it. Okay. I almost never, ever bring up other believers by name on the radio for this very reason, because I want to be very careful not to be bashing others. And that's why I spoke of my immense respect for Pat Robertson and even told, we're telling callers, if you call in, you can't bash him, but we will talk about the issue. Now, we know the exact circumstance. We listened to the whole clip, and it was a woman saying she has a friend, and this friend is a man, and his wife has Alzheimer's, and he wants to start seeing other people. And she was concerned, what should she tell him? And Pat Robertson said, well, better that he gets a divorce and gets care for the wife, and then moves on and starts a new life. So that was the whole context. And I'm 100% with you, Wilson, on the bashing part and ganging up on someone. And in fact, he made the comments last Tuesday, and I knew about them for days and didn't do anything until things had settled. And even there was an opportunity for him to speak up and to say he made a mistake, he misspoke. Because look, I'm on the air. I don't have the audience he has, but I'm on the air nationally. And I know you can make a mistake, but the concern, Wilson, is that this brings reproach to the gospel. It makes a mockery of our position for divorce. So the right thing for us to do is to say we love Pat Robertson, we're praying for him, but we absolutely repudiate what he said. We absolutely differ with what he said for the sake of the gospel. So that's why I asked how often you listen, because I'm not one of these guys that's, this guy, this preacher, and bashing. I don't do that. It's divisive. It tears down the body rather than builds up. And by all means, we need to pray for him. So
we need to pray for him. We need to pray for our leaders when they make mistakes, because we're soon enough, we will forgive a guy who murdered his wife, did time, and come out, and rather than execute the poor man who probably, again, he should have said, no, this is wrong. Divorce is wrong. There are voters that are here or not discussed. I'm not clear of this, and then probably come out. That one probably would have been better.
Yeah, and let me just say this last thing, Wilson. I, the other reason that I don't often mention people by name on the show is because it's so easy to take someone out of context and to make them look bad. So, hey, I'm going to get to another call, but thank you for weighing in, sir. I appreciate that. By all means, if you just tuned in today, it's your first time listening. This is not one of these shows where every day I'm running down this preacher and this guy and bashing someone and bashing. I am not God's policeman here. I am not the corrector of the, I am the righteous voice. And we really seek, by God's grace, to be a voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity. I take every show very seriously. I take the fact that you're listening to me, and some of you write me and call with very personal, difficult situations and ask for wisdom and counsel. I take that very seriously. And Jacob, chapter 3, tells us that those who teach the word are held to greater accountability. That's why it behooves us for the testimony of the gospel, for the glory of the name of Jesus, for the upholding of family values, that we denounce the comments but not condemn our brother and not forget the good that he has done. Now, some have called in and pointed me to websites that would dismiss Pat Robertson as a false prophet. And so I know there are people that don't like Pat Robertson, but the show's not about him. I'm not asking you to call in and give me your opinion of Pat Robertson. I'm saying, what's your response to his statement that if your spouse has Alzheimer's, it's a walking death, the person really isn't there anymore, and there could be justification for divorce and starting a brand new life? It is, again, utterly outrageous to me and undermining the very vows that we take in marriage. Can I ask again, if marriage is just for the good times, if marriage is just for the pretty good times, for the okay times, even the rough times, why do you take the vows? I mean, it's for these critically difficult times that we've made a vow in the sight of God. Do our vows mean anything?
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
866-34-TRUTH. That is the number, 866-348-7884. We're discussing Pat Robertson's comments about divorce. We're not discussing Pat Robertson. This is not a forum for Pat Robertson. This is a forum to discuss his comments that in the case of Alzheimer's, it would be justifiable for a man to divorce his wife and start a new life because the wife is no longer there. In many ways, she has walking death. It's so unfortunate. You know, when marriage is being assaulted from every angle, when people take marriage so lightly, I actually plan to talk more about different issues surrounding marriage on Wednesday that we devote to moral, cultural issues. Christians are in so many ways violating their vows. Look, I've had Christians tell me we're incompatible. We're getting a divorce. What? You're getting a divorce because you're incompatible? You're getting a divorce because you don't get along well? Well, we realize, you know, it says in the Bible, what God joins together, let no man separate. God didn't join us together. See, we married the wrong person. What? Here's how God joins you together. You commit yourselves one to another, and you consummate it sexually. You are now joined together. Period. As Nancy would say sometimes, as we're having a discussion. Period. The end. In other words, that there's not more discussion on that. Period. The end. We tell our kids that sometimes. That it's not some mystical thing that only if you marry the right person, God joins you together. And if you marry the wrong person, you're... No, absolutely not. And let me tell you this. I know plenty of marriages where one spouse committed adultery and the other spouse was gracious enough, committed to the Lord and to that spouse, or to the Lord, the spouse and the kids, that they hung in there with that person and there was reconciliation. And the marriages are healthier than they've ever been. God's a reconciler. Dr. Russell Moore wrote this. A friend posted it on the Illinois Family Institute website, and that's where I spotted it. This week on his television show, Christian broadcaster Pat Robertson said a man would be morally justified to divorce his wife with Alzheimer's disease in order to marry another woman. The dementia-riddled wife, Robertson said, is not there anymore. This is more than embarrassment. This is more than cruelty. This is a repudiation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay, now he goes on, says some negative things about Pat Robertson in general. I'll pass by that because I greatly respect Pat Robertson despite differences I've had with different things he said over the years. Marriage, the scripture tells us, is an icon of something deeper, more ancient, more mysterious. The marriage union is a sign, the Apostle Paul announces, of the mystery of Christ and his church. The husband then is to love his wife as Christ loved the church. This love is defined not as the hormonal surge of romance, but as a self-sacrificial crucifixion of self. The husband pictures Christ when he loves his wife by giving himself up for her. At the arrest of Christ, his bride, the church forgot who she was and denied who he was. He didn't divorce her. He didn't leave. The bride of Christ fled his side and went back to their old ways of life when Jesus came to them after the resurrection. The church was about the very thing they were doing when Jesus found them in the first place out in the boats with their nets. Jesus didn't leave. He stood by. A woman or a man with Alzheimer's can't do anything for you, Dr. Moore says. There's no romance, no sex, no partnership, not even companionship. That's just the point, because marriage is a Christ Church icon, a representation. A man loves his wife as his own flesh. He cannot sever her off from him simply because she isn't, quote, useful anymore. Dr. Moore has more to say. I'll share a bit more of that in the next few minutes. But first, back to the phones. Jim in Greensboro, North Carolina, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you for allowing me to say a word or two. Dr. Brown, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. Please go ahead.
Good. It looks like Pat Robertson put his foot in his mouth and he needs to recant the statement. There's nothing in the Bible that suggests that a person should divorce her spouse because of Alzheimer's.
Not a hint of anything.
And that's basically all I have to say. I'd like to get off the phone and listen to what you have to say in response to my comment.
Thank you, Jim. Absolutely. There's not a hint of anything in Scripture, in the New Testament that would point in this direction. That's the first thing. And secondly, yes, Pat Robertson has a public responsibility. I'm not his personal judge and jury. But he is not just representing himself. He's representing Jesus. As am I, as I speak, as are you when you speak, but each of us have different audiences, and to whom much is given, much is required. Although it would be a terrible blow that he'll still take for these comments, and it will hurt him in many ways, the best way to fix things is to get up publicly and say, I don't know what I was thinking. What I said is absolutely deplorable, and do his best to correct it, and then speak things in the opposite direction for some weeks or some months that will be to build up marriage as he's done through the years. I want, though, to be sure that we are pointing the finger where it needs to be pointed. And I don't just want to sit here as a radio host and as a minister in different capacities and say how much I deplore his comments. I want to say to each of us as husbands and wives, and to whatever extent we have family situations that intersect with this beyond marriage, we need to ask how we're doing. We need to ask how we're carrying ourselves. You know, sometimes when we're not dealing with something like Alzheimer's, we're just dealing with financial pressure, or the fact that our spouse doesn't look the way they used to look, or the relationship's not what it used to be, and we allow ourselves to get involved with other people, if not with actual adultery, emotionally, or flirtatiously, or in our thought life, or we're just unfaithful by not being there. We may not be committing adultery or divorcing, but we're just not there. That's very serious, friends. That's very serious, and we need to step higher and say, yeah, we repudiate Pat Robertson's comments, not just with our words of repudiation, but with our deeds of living differently. We have all this week a really important resource offer with 24 hours of teaching on two CDs for your MP3 player or your computer, two complete series, one on the spiritual world, the spiritual realm. Are there angels? Are there demons? How do demons infiltrate? How does revelation come? How does deception come? Can believers be demon-possessed? What about deliverance? Where does that fit in today? Just thoroughly biblically based, not speculation, but biblically based. And then teaching on spiritual warfare, the shield of faith, the sword of the spirit, the weapon of praise, overcoming the devil. Each CD is normally $20 plus postage. Today you can get both. So 24 hours of teaching for $20, and we'll pay the postage. But call today at 1-800-278-9978 to order. That's 1-800-278-9978. You can also order online at AskDrBrown.org and click on the Line of Fire. Or again, call at 1-800-278-9978. We'll be back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We are focused on a very, very important subject today. I had planned on talking about a bunch of other items of interest to me this half hour that I thought would be of real interest to you. But the controversial comments of Pat Robertson have stirred up so much pain, so much outrage, so many questions, potentially opening the door to divorce, certainly brought reproach to the gospel and have brought reproach to the standard of family and marriage that we hold to, that I'm taking this entire broadcast to continue the discussion, to take your calls at 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. We've had folks call in and send us links pointing out that Pat Robertson's a false prophet in the wolf in sheep's clothing. I personally respect Pat Robertson, respect the work of CBN over the years, 700 Club, the work of Regent University, the work of Operation Blessing and other ministries that Pat Robertson's helped raise up and send out. I may not agree with certain things he said. Some, in fact, have been very troubling over the years. This is terribly troubling. But we are not here to bash him. So if you want to call to bash him, sorry, we're not taking the call. However, we can speak very, very strongly as to our differences here. Is this something that opens the door, a slippery slope to, well, you know, maybe you divorce your spouse, not just over Alzheimer's, but some other condition where they're just not there anymore, some other kind of walking death. Does this open the door to all kinds of excuses as to when divorce can be permitted? And, hey, I was going to commit adultery. Isn't it better that I do this? 866-34-TRUTH. Let's listen to the clip once more. This is from a secular news broadcast.
It was a question on the 700 Club, Pat Robertson's talk show. A woman looking for moral guidance asking about a friend whose wife has Alzheimer's.
He says that he should be allowed to see other people because his wife, as he knows her, is gone.
Robertson, an ordained Baptist minister for 50 years, responded.
I know it sounds cruel, but if he's going to do something, he should divorce her and start all over again. But, you know, to make sure she has custodial care, and if he says in a sense she is gone, he's right. It's like a walking death.
I'm sure there's some compassion in that answer. I'm sure that he, being an older man himself, knows more people with Alzheimer's, knows more people with spouses with Alzheimer's than I do or most of us do. Regardless, the comments are outrageous and completely unjustifiable and very painful to hear. What does it say to the people who are handicapped or the people who have some troubling degenerative condition thinking, oh no, Pat Robertson just told my spouse if I get much worse, then they can start a new life without me. I mean, it's fearful, it's wrong, it's sad. Now, there's a positive, though. The positive to me in that secular broadcast is that the world seems outraged that a Christian minister would say that. In other words, they expect better of him, and they expect better of us. That's about the only positive I can take away from this. I'm going to the phones immediately, 866-34-TRUTH. Marianne in Sarasota, Florida, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hello. I enjoy your program very much, and I am a born-again Christian, and my husband was ill for 20 years, and the onset
What did he suffer from?
It was called Gerstmann-Straussler-Scheinker disease, and later in years, they didn't know at that time, the doctors, about this disease, but after President Reagan had his Alzheimer's, they began to have more money to do research in other similar diseases.
Hey, Marianne, tell you what, hang on for a moment. We've got a break, but I want you to be able to share your story. So hang on, Marianne. But it brings something to mind. I mentioned it in the first hour. I want to repeat this. What if Nancy Reagan had divorced her husband when he had Alzheimer's? Can you imagine the national outrage over that? That just puts it in context for us, right? We'll be back with Marianne. We'll take your calls. You can also weigh in at Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook.
Give up.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Boy, there's just so much to talk about with the subject of marriage and the subject of lifelong commitment. It's amazing how trivial our vows can be. It's amazing how trivial our words can be in the sight of God. I mean, why are we doing them? Why are we speaking them? Why are we doing these vows, performing them? Look, if you're in a court of law and you swear to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, and you don't, you can go to jail for perjury. In the first hour, someone quoted C.S. Lewis as saying that many of our marriage vows are perjury. Marianne in Sarasota, thanks for your call. So you were saying that your husband for 20 years suffered from a condition that was similar to Alzheimer's?
Yes. It's, in short, GSS, Gerstmann-Straussler-Scheinker disease. And the onset of that was when he was 37. Now, I stayed with him because we both knew the Lord. And I know the Lord, and I wouldn't want to do anything to be against my husband. I believe in the marriage vows. Things were very hard all those years. My youngest one was 2, and the other one was 6, and then I had a 14 and 16-year-old. Now, we went through a lot of very hard things, but I loved my husband. I loved him with all my heart, and he was worth my dedication to him and to my children. I had to raise my children myself, take care of him, and then go to work. So I'm not saying, it was hard. Now, my older son, who's 50, he has the same gene, and he's in a nursing home now, and his wife just signed him over to the facility. So I have lived with both things.
Oh, my.
And I still say that God is true. God comes in and gives us comfort in all of these issues. He has done it with me for 40 years of my Christian life, and I would not have done it any other way. The sorrow with my son and my daughter-in-law doing this is great sorrow to me. That never changes God. God is always faithful. He stays with us. Mm-hmm. We trust him. That's if we will. Now, I could have gone the other way, and if I had, I wouldn't have been happy. I know that. And my daughter-in-law, she will have to be accountable for what she's done. But it's great sorrow to me. I have had great, great sorrow.
Yeah,
but it
Marianne,
never changes God.
Yeah, I can't imagine what you've lived through. And the one thing I can relate to, on different levels, of course, is that God's grace is sufficient somehow.
It is.
And you're a living witness that can speak rebuke to many, many of us who drop out for so many lesser reasons over the years.
Yeah.
Let me just ask one last question. What was the most difficult thing relationally living with your husband with this condition? Did he think you were a stranger? Did he get angry with you? What was the most, if you
oh,
had to
yes.
point out the...
all
the,
those
the,
things.
Yeah.
It was a brain disease. He went through brain surgery also to see if they could help him, but they couldn't. And so, yes, there was no sex. He was a changed man, so that my older two sons knew him in a different way than my young daughter and my younger son.
Yeah.
And my young daughter and my younger son have suffered a lot. But I trust God with them.
Mm-hmm.
So far as I know, my younger two are doing good.
Yeah, and God is a redeemer. God is a redeemer, and there's an example of your witness.
He is.
That speaks volumes.
And he's more than that, even. So, the sorrow's there. But God has given me grace and strength because I trust him. I abide in him, and that is what it is.
Let me just say this. The reminder to me as you're speaking is, as much as we talk about being faithful in our vows, there's the faithfulness of the Lord to us, which is our example, and the fact that he does carry us through. Thank you for sharing that, and may God bring redemption through your whole family in the midst of the suffering and pain.
Thank you so much. I love your program.
Well, thank you, Marianne.
Thank you.
All right. God bless. Oh, you know, we got a call in the first hour that was, we got several calls. And last week when I talked about the problem of suffering, we got lots and lots of calls. And the common denominator was that through the worst hell, God was there. Through the most unspeakable circumstances, God was there. So, again, all the more do we grieve over the statements of Pat Robertson and regret that they've been made and pray that somehow, something that in itself could be negative and destructive can be turned around for good, perhaps in an awakening within the church about the seriousness of our marriage vows. Perhaps so many leaders speaking up, perhaps so many people coming forward with testimonies like this will awaken us to our calling to be faithful and to recognize that barring adultery or the abandonment of an unbelieving spouse, Scripture does not speak of us having the right to divorce. If we are divorced in certain circumstances, remarriage can be an option. There's the very real question about what if there is physical abuse. We didn't get into it yet in today's broadcast, and we'll have to talk about it more another time. At the very least, if a spouse is being physically abused or children are being physically abused, at the very least, you can separate for protection's sake. At the very least, is that grounds for divorce, possibly remarriage? That's a whole separate subject, although an important subject. And I don't minimize the suffering people have gone through in that respect. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about the exact opposite. We're talking about where the other person has been incapacitated. And enough. You know what I've got to say on this. Let me get back to your calls. Jereen in Ames, Iowa, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello.
Yes, hello. You're on the air.
Oh, my goodness, I'm nervous.
We're having a conversation, just two people. Don't worry about everybody else listening.
Coming from, a personal experience, my daughter-in-law's mom developed Alzheimer's, and it's just so beautiful the way her husband would not, she had to end up going to a nursing home. And bless his heart, he joined her. He is fine, but he's not about to trust her care to anyone else except himself. And I just think that is so beautiful to see him together. You know, he is so tender and loving with her. And then to quickly jump back to my own situation, I had five little sons. I still do. But their dad just kind of walked away and abandoned us. And no child support, no anything. And I kind of just thought, you know, Lord, you don't really care.
How many children?
Five sons.
Five sons. And how long ago did this happen?
Oh, my goodness. I'm old and it's a long time ago. But it's still kind of, you know, when I see a beautiful couple that have stuck together. And anyway, I did rebel against God. But thank heaven he was always there waiting for me with his arms outstretched. And the prodigal daughter came back home. And I love your program.
Oh, well,
did I make any sense?
Yes, you did. And those are testimonies that need to be heard. And the conversation that everybody else was listening to just went fine. But thanks for calling in. Thanks for listening in Iowa. Look, these are real life situations. I mean, what Pat Robertson said is, as wrong as it is, reminds us of how many situations there are like this and how we need the Lord so desperately. So thank you.
Absolutely.
For your own testimony. Appreciate you calling.
Thanks.
Boy, so here's a husband who is unable to care adequately for his wife with Alzheimer's, so he moves into the nursing home with her. Wow. Remarkable. 866-34-TRUTH. Jacob in Concord. All right, we lost Jacob there. Tell you what, we've just got a minute before the break. Let me read the end of Dr. Russell Morrow's article on Christ, the Church, and Pat Robertson. He said some things that have concerned all of us in recent years, concerned many of us, I should say, but he's not our subject here. It's the comments that he made. Russell Moore said, if our churches are to survive, we must repudiate this Canaanite mammonocracy, you know, money-oriented, so on, that so often speaks for us. But beyond that, we must train up a new generation to see the gospel embedded in fidelity, a fidelity that is cruciform, so the way of the cross, It's easy to teach couples to put the spark back in their marriages, to put the sizzle back in their sex lives. You can still worship the self and want all that, but that's not what love is. Love is fidelity with a cross on your back. Love is drowning in your own blood. Love is screaming, my God, why have you forsaken me? Sadly, many of our neighbors assume that when they hear the parade of cartoon characters we're allowed to speak for us, that they're hearing the gospel. Again, he's speaking in ways about Pat Robertson. I wouldn't. But here's what he says. Somewhere out there right now, a man is wiping the drool from an 85-year-old woman who flinches because she thinks he's a stranger. No television cameras are around. No politicians are seeking a meeting with them. But the gospel is there. Jesus is there. He's present in the weak, the vulnerable, the useless. He's there in the least of these. So true.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Friends, I'm just looking ahead to the broadcast for the rest of this week. Do your best not to miss a day. Tomorrow I'm going to be talking about some of the serious deceptions in the body today. Asking questions, does God still judge? Does God still judge the world? Does he ever judge the church? Or was it all taken care of at the cross, so there is no judgment in this age? What about our sins? Does God see our sins? Wednesday, some major moral cultural issues in the body. We'll be focusing on them, God willing, and we will be talking more about the meaning of marriage. And if you didn't hear me mention this earlier, go to townhall.com as soon as you have an opportunity. Trust me on this one. Go to townhall.com, and I just posted an article there called The Man Who Married the Goat. There are four stories in there you'll find unbelievable. The Man Who Married the Goat and Other Reflections on the Meaning of Marriage. All right, so that's posted on townhall.com. Make sure you read it. It's relevant to marriage issue. And Thursday, by then, a lot more things will have unfolded with the whole issue of a Palestinian state. We'll talk about that and some areas of Messianic Jewish truth and Messianic Jewish deception. Today, I had planned on getting into some other areas, but the first hour we were so flooded with phone calls and then online comments about Pat Robertson's statement about it's okay for man to divorce his wife with Alzheimer's, make sure she has proper custodial care or medical care, and then make a brand new start. Such unfortunate comments for a man who has so much influence and who has done so much good over the years. But this is a grievous one, and leaders across America are rightly expressing their outrage and concern and grief over it. Brian in Clearwater, Florida, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yeah, Brother Brown.
Yes, sir.
Yes, I wanted to thank you for your defense of marriage. I really appreciate what you're doing. And I also really am thankful for those testimonies that woman who stuck with her husband.
Yeah,
that we just heard, and also the husband that was stuck with his wife. Really praise the Lord for that. My question to you, I wondered if you would reconsider. You mentioned the woman whose husband committed adultery, and she stayed with him, which was really a great testimony as well.
Of course, he repented and wanted reconciliation.
Exactly. Right. That's good, too. I wondered if you would reconsider, though, what actually breaks a marriage bond in God's eyes in that situation that you mentioned. Did his adultery actually break the marriage bond, and so then they had to get remarried, or did the marriage bond actually stay intact, and that actually the only thing that breaks the marriage bond would be death, or maybe the adultery of a remarriage?
Yeah, Brian, it's an issue I've discussed many times with some of my Christian friends around the world, because there are ministries that I work with and close friends that I have who believe that although there are certain potential causes for divorce, that as long as the spouse is still living, that remarriage is always forbidden, and that even in the case of adultery, you don't have the right to divorce. The person can divorce you, and even if they divorce, you can't remarry. So it's something I've looked at many times. As far as I can see in Scripture, there is a breaking of covenant with adultery, but if someone could point me to other evidence, It's nothing that I'm closed-minded on. So I appreciate your call, Brian, and I appreciate you raising the subject. And it's one that deserves more discussion. All right?
All right. Thank you.
You're very welcome. God bless you. Got time for one more call. Lori in Portland, Oregon, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. I've been listening to all the comments, and of all, everything that I've heard, I haven't heard anybody mention the possibility of healing. And I know that in Christianity, we have a broad spectrum of anything from healing is not for today to everybody should get healed. And I always thought that Pat Robertson and the 700 Club was more along the lines of, you know, everybody should be healed. So it's funny that somebody who has that kind of a perspective, unless I'm wrong about that perspective.
No, there would definitely be there would be a strong emphasis on healing, and let's say the belief that healing is available for all, and that Jesus in dying for us on the cross provides healing for the whole person. I'm sure that would be a Pat Robertson belief. Now, you might say, well, let's look at it practically. You know, do you go to the doctor if healing hasn't come? Do you take medicine if healing hasn't come? I'm sure Pat Robertson would say yes. But you're absolutely right, Lori. And someone called sometime back, I believe it was the first hour, but so many people wanted to weigh in today. I've lost track. And he mentioned the mother where the kids had taken away credit cards and any way that she could get herself in trouble because she had Alzheimer's, and she came out of it. God can certainly do that. And that's the question, though, you know, that anyone would have is, well, how far does this have to go before my spouse can say it's walking death? And what if I get better? What if it's not Alzheimer's? What if it's something else? Or what if God heals me? Of course, where you're not going to be healed of death, you know, 20 years after you die, you're not going to be healed until the resurrection. So, yeah, exactly. That's a fair question to raise, Lori. I appreciate it.
Two other quick things. I can understand the secular media getting so freaked out about this, not that they don't want to take every opportunity to Christian bash, but also because they've made some beautiful, beautiful, beautiful movies addressing this. Secular people have the issue of Alzheimer's. And the other thing I just wanted to say is you said that he should retract. I think he should resign.
Yeah, well, I'm sure many others would say that there have been quite a number of comments that have been made that have been negative and that it's time to move on. But, again, it's not for us to stand in verdict of that. But thank you for calling in, Lori. I appreciate it. God bless you.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
All right. Where do I go? Okay, first, let me encourage you again. Let's look at our own lives. Let's look at our own marriages. Let's look at our own situations. For some of us, this strikes closer to home because of care of an elderly loved one. For some, it strikes closer to home because of marriage issues. Wherever it strikes us, let's ask ourselves, Lord, how should I live in a way that glorifies you? Okay, important reminder. Our resource offer this week is some really important teaching I did on the spiritual world. Are there really angels? Are there really demons? I mean, how do demons infiltrate? Is there such a thing as demon possession? What about for a believer? Does deliverance play a role today, or is that just something that was in the Bible? All scripturally based, thoroughly scripturally based. I'm a word-based person as much as I believe in the gifts and power of the Spirit. I'm a word-based person. What about spiritual warfare? In Ephesians 6, the armor of the Lord, what's that talking about? 24 hours of teaching on two CDs. They're normally $40 plus postage. Today you can get both for just $20. So it's a savings of over 50% because we'll pay the postage too. But call today at 1-800-278-9978. That's 24 hours of teaching on angels, demons, deliverance, and spiritual warfare on two CDs for your computer and MP3 player. Call us at 1-800-278-9978. That's also the number to call to sign up as a monthly torchbearer or to sow in other ways into our ministry. Once more, 1-800-278-9978 or online, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. My bottom line, this is an excellent time for us, those of us who are married, to go back to the cross, to go back to our marriage vows, to go back to the picture of Jesus in the church and say, Lord, how can I model this in your sight and for the world to see? How can I show the world what it really means to be joined together in you by life or by death?